Alright, time for Fast Track. It is brought to you by our friends at Puente Hills Toyota. Got a car that's just sitting around not being used? Bring it to Puente Hills Toyota today for an instant cash offer. Puente Hills Toyota is the house of yes. Alright, let's see. Coin flip. Alright, John. One side of the coin is the THT, hashtag THT.
Right.
I sent out a picture today. Mm-hmm. On Instagram, becomes a thing. Everybody starts doing a Wednesday THT. Other side of the coin, you're an idiot. Call it in the air.
What do you think THT stands for?
It stands for the hot thing. The hot thing.
Tails, you're an idiot.
I thought it was Talen Horton Tucker.
I did too. Had you said Talen Horton Tucker, I would have gone.
You would have been good with that.
But to pay tribute to THT, because I am president of the Talen Horton Tucker fan club. But
yes.
Jorge, I'm going Tails. He's an idiot. What is it?
Yeah, Tails. It is, John.
Tails. It is.
I will
I'm
defer.
An idiot. Go figure.
No advantage comes with that. As you
all right. Last week, Jay Lineman, owner of Cincinnati's Lenny's Pub, alerted patrons that they needed to go elsewhere if they want to watch NBA games. The bar owner has banned NBA games from being shown at his bar until the league decides to kick LeBron out of it after the Lakers star targeted a Columbus police officer in a highly controversial tweet. Lineman went on to add that he believes NBA players, quote, just need to play the game and that's it, and their opinion really doesn't matter. Meanwhile, Yelp is being flooded by one-star reviews. John, is this, for this bar, Lenny's Pub, good or bad for business?
It's terrible for business. If I want to go out with my friends to watch a game, and if it's in Cincinnati, let's just say I want to watch the Cavs. The Cavs play Portland today at 4:30. And I just want to go someplace where I can watch the game. I want to see Darius Garland and Colin Sexton. I don't want politics with my food or my basketball. I just want to go watch the game. I want to watch the Cavs play, who are my team. If some guy wants to take a stand and eliminate everybody that's in my boat, that's his loss. I think it's a terrible business decision.
As it turns out, I know the answer, and the bar has been packed ever since.
No kidding.
Yep, bar has been packed.
Yeah, I wouldn't, you know, obviously because I like NBA, I'd go somewhere else.
Yeah, I would too. But he made a particular point, and apparently he's got a base of fans of his bar that agree with him, but it's been busy ever since. That was a controversial tweet for LeBron. All right, it's to you.
Fast track.
In 2018... the Rams traded for cornerback Marcus Peters, and he was good.
Yeah,
he helped
great.
Him go 13-3 and make it to the Super Bowl. But in 2019, he got off to a slow start, and the Rams traded Peters to Baltimore.
Yep.
It was all part of a plan that eventually led to the Rams bringing in Jalen Ramsey, who is now considered the best cover corner in the league. But Peters doesn't think that. He thinks he's better than Ramsey. He was on Aqib Talib's podcast this week. Talib was the other corner on those Rams teams.
Right.
And they got rid of him, too. Here's what Peters said. Oh, by the way, Jorge, did you bleep this? Okay. Here's what Peters said when he was asked about the Rams trading him.
Why you think our exit was so crazy and how you felt about it?
Nah, all right. So you.
All right.
I was pissed off more so because I'm at
so
a...
So you was pissed off?
Oh, yeah. Him. That's how I was feeling. And I'm still feeling like that because I felt disrespected in the sense of, yeah, y'all can trade me. That's a part of the business. But 2 minutes after that, you bring in another guy who do the same shit I do. Maybe a little bit different. If we play this compare game, I do a little bit more. That shit was disrespectful to me. If we hung on a little bit more, we had a chip year that year, too. I don't think we was the problem. I don't think that we were the issue that was holding the Rams back from taking the steps of where we needed to get to.
Make sure the biggest Rams fan I know. What do you think about Marcus Peters saying that he would be a better fit on the Rams than Jalen Ramsey?
Well, at that moment, he was starting cornerback. And they got a sixth-round pick to him to trade him to Baltimore. What they were really doing was arranging their salary cap as opposed to necessarily making a decision. In the end, they wind up with Jalen Ramsey, who is, I mean, with all due respect to Marcus Peters, who's been a great player, Jalen Ramsey is a much better player. So I understand why you're pissed off, but it is part of the business that you can be traded at any moment if you're a professional athlete. But we got the best of that deal because we got Jalen Ramsey.
And I think Jalen Ramsey is the best corner in the league. I like Marcus Peters. I actually like his swag a little bit. But you won't find a football person in this country worth his salt that would take Marcus Peters ahead of Jalen Ramsey. The Rams played this exactly right. It's to you.
Fast track.
All right. Amazon will be spending $465 million on the first season of its new Lord of the Rings series. For comparison's sake, the most expensive season of Game of Thrones cost $100 million to make. So this is four times the cost of a season of Game of Thrones. Now, I've never been a big Lord of the Rings guy. I've seen a couple of them, but it didn't stick with me. But I'm going to give this a shot just because of the amount of money, the amount of budget they're putting into this thing. Will you give it a try?
No, I've never seen there are three Lord of the Rings
movies.
But
see, here's
right?
the thing. You don't need to have seen it.
Yeah, now I'm out.
You're out. You just don't buy it. You don't buy it. It's not.
I'm not into that. I mean, you had to drag me kicking and screaming to Game of Thrones, and once you did, I was happy you did.
And you loved it. Why not go kicking and screaming to Lord of the Rings?
Because I'm gonna have you watch it first and tell me if it's worth it.
Yeah, I will definitely watch it. $465 million has got my attention. It's amazing. Four times what it takes to make Game of Thrones for a season. They are really throwing the ranch at this thing. All right, it's to you.
Fast track.
Yesterday, we talked about Craig Carton, the talk show host in New York,
yep,
who asked new Jets quarterback Zach Wilson all about the coverage his mom was receiving in the New York papers. Wilson's
yes.
mom is super attractive. Carton caught a lot of heat, including some from us, about how he went about asking Wilson about his mom. This morning, Carton doubled down about asking Wilson that question. Here's what Carton said today.
A lot of people think I asked him or ogled his mother. Wrong. I asked him how awkward it was that his mom became a story, as reported by other media and journalistic outlets. I didn't randomly say to him, hey, dude, your mom's so hot, can I have her number? I said, isn't it awkward that other outlets are talking about your mom's looks? And by the way, if you interviewed Zach Wilson and did not ask him about it, you should never be able to do another interview again because you suck at it.
All right, Mason, Carton Wright, if you're interviewing Wilson, do you have to ask him about his mom?
There was a better way to ask the question. We actually listened to the way he brought the question up, and there was a better way to do it that would have been more acceptable. I'm not saying ignore it. I just wouldn't use the phrase hot mom. He yeah. used the phrase hot mom, which I think is what made it awkward to him. It would have been easy to say, hey, a lot of people are talking about your mom right now. What does she think of that, and what do you think of that?
Right. We talked about it yesterday. That's the question. You just say, your mom's getting a lot of attention. What do you think of it? What does she think of it? And that's it. And he went on like a one-minute ramp-up about, your mom is on the front page of the paper, and your mom is doing this and that, and your mom, and she's so hot.
I love your New York accent.
Yeah. And so it's. I think he's doing a little revisionist history here. I do agree with him that if you get Zach Wilson this week, you should ask that question. It's how you ask it that makes a difference. So we actually agree on this. It's to you.
All right. Here we go. John, moral dilemma. Moral dilemma.
Okay.
Two little girls participating in a drag show. This 2 weekends ago, a video surfaced on social media showing two little girls on stage during a drag show at a gay bar called The Palace in Miami.
Okay.
Now, controversial political commentator Angela Stanton King reposted the video saying this, quote, why in the hell do these people got this effing little bitty ass kids at this effing drag show, y'all? It is 11:40 at night. These people have children in an effing drag show. Now, the little girls are shown walking around the stage with this drag queen in all of her majesty, and people are handing them tip money. John, what is your take on little kids at a drag show?
I try very hard never to tell other parents how to parent their children. I think that, You know, like if you watch the TV show Modern Family,
yes,
you know, families are different. There are a lot of households where two gay men are raising daughters or two gay women are raising sons. And you know, when Kobe and Vanessa used to bring their girls to the late games just to change their sleep schedule so they could stay up consistently to watch their dad play. And they would let them sleep in the morning the next day, which I thought was really cool. Some other people would say, well, kids shouldn't be up until midnight. I try never to criticize the way other people parent. I see all the landmines here. I see why social media is glomming on to something like this and criticizing them for it. I'm just not going to be one of the criticizers. What do you think?
Drag queens never hurt anybody. I mean, they really did. They're fun. Have you ever been to a drag show?
Yes.
Oh, I mean, they're super fun.
Right.
And I don't see the moral negativity or the moral injustice here. I don't think it's immoral to bring little kids to a drag show. In fact, it probably introduces them to a more inclusive world. I don't understand the criticism. It falls into the category of none of your business. They didn't shoot the video. Somebody else shot the video and put it on Instagram. So it's not like the parents did it. Somebody else did it. They turned it into a thing on Instagram. Then this commentator makes these comments. I mean, there's nothing. It's harmless for little kids to go to a drag show. I don't think it's a moral dilemma at all.
Well, here's the other thing. Like, people love to criticize LeVar Ball because he's bombastic and
sure,
he says a lot of controversial stuff. And you know, we've had him on our show many times.
Cash money,
LeVar. But you cannot deny that LeVar raised three sons, and even LiAngelo made it briefly to an NBA training camp. The other two are making millions playing in the NBA. I don't see a lot of other parents doing that.
Right.
His methods were unconventional, yeah. But still, you look at the way LaMelo's playing. And Lonzo had a great game last night. He's probably going to be a free agent next year.
Yep.
And make a ton of money. I try hard not to criticize LeVar, even though I understand how he's open for criticism. I'm just never going to – I'm going to try really hard never to – I'll probably fall short of it at some point. You could probably go back and find a tape where I did it. But if I can help it, I'm going to try not to criticize other parents for the way they parent, if that makes sense.
Yeah, it makes total sense. Hey, you know, I was just thinking here, drag show. How would John Ireland look as a woman? How would I look as a woman if Whoa. Drag queens dressed us up? How would you look, John?
Number one, I would request tremendous upper body strength. I think that would be something that I would. You know, I figure we're not going to do this a lot.
Yeah, no, not a lot.
I keep thinking about the end of The Birdcage. Remember the end of the movie, The Birdcage? I want the whole Gene Hackman getup. I want the big hair.
That's so great.
I want the long dress. I want to be We Are Family right out the front door in front of the media. How
great movie, by the way. The Birdcage, great movie.
Yeah, Mike
Nichols. I mean, as a woman, I think I'd be super hot.
Okay.
That's just
you think you'd be hot. Shocker.
If a drag queen came in here and said, okay, Mason, we're gonna fix you up, I think I would look unbelievably good. I think I could look good as a man. I think I could look as a woman. I was good looking as a kid. I mean, just flat out good look. It's something I've never been able to outrun, John, my good lookingness.
I think that much like Terrell Owens, you love you some you. And I
absolutely
think that makes you.
All right, coming up next for you, we were talking about which team is in more trouble, Dodgers or Lakers. I've actually got some emails on that subject, venicemace@gmail.com. You can also call the show, 877-710-ESPN. You can reach the show middle of the night. Send us an email, venicemace@gmail.com. And coming up next for you, John, let me see, what do we want to do here? Let's do this. Conor McGregor got the ultimate revenge. Have you heard this story?
No.
Okay, I will explain it to you next. Mason Ireland, 710 ESPN.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPNpods. That's amazon.com/ESPNpods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
I tried. Happy Cinco de Mayo, everybody. Have a margarita on me. Send me the tap. No, don't. Please do not.
Send me a bottle, Mace.
Do not do that. But hope you have a good... Are people going out for Cinco de Mayo? I'm going out to dinner tonight. I don't think I'm going to have a margarita. It's not a Cinco de Mayo thing. It's a Travis is having his 50th birthday thing. But do people still go out and get liquored up for Cinco de Mayo?
I went out last night, and there were a lot of people out. And that was the night before Cinco de Mayo.
Oh, they were getting ready. All right, your phone calls in at 877-710-ESPN. John, in October of 2019, Conor McGregor was convicted of assaulting an old man at the Marble Arch Bar in Dublin, Ireland.
Okay.
For committing the crime of refusing a shot of his signature Proper 12 whiskey. So, in other words, McGregor said, Proper 12 is on me. And the guy said, I'm not going to do it. And he punched him in the face.
Okay.
I said, I don't want a shot of your whiskey. Bam, takes one in the face. Now, after the incident, McGregor expressed remorse for his unacceptable behavior. He claimed he tried to make amends with the victim, Desmond Keogh. He was also forced to pay a fine of about $1,200. But now, in the ultimate act of revenge, McGregor bought the Marble Arch Bar, and Desmond Keogh is officially and permanently banned. That is what you call real revenge.
Now,
you don't want a shot of whiskey? I'll punch you in the face, then I'll ban you from the bar I just bought.
Have you ever been to Dublin?
No. Yes, I've been to Dublin.
It is fantastic.
Yeah, it's great.
And what makes it great is when you go out in Dublin, you just bar hop. You go from one spot to another. They all have guitar players. Everybody's singing. Yep. Everybody's doing shots. I'm guessing I've probably been to the Marble Arch.
Probably.
I just go right in the heart of downtown and start bar hopping. But good for Conor McGregor. That is like the ultimate revenge. That's like one of the great revenge stories of all time.
He's in a f-ing tracksuit.
It gets no better.
Hey, Michael is online. He wants to talk about the Lakers. Hey, Michael, you're on 710 ESPN. Hi.
Hey, Jens, how are you?
Good, man.
Okay, a couple things. One is, John, I love you, man, but you are way too much of a homer when it comes to the Lakers. And Mason, you're like the sky is falling. Let's just
exactly. That's the balance of the show, Michael. You just covered it right there.
So what's the right answer?
Well, you're somewhere in between. I mean, you know, when you were about a week ago, you were mapping out the next 10 Laker games. You had them going 10-0. I had them going 2-8. And the reason is they have no continuity. I'm a coach. I coach kids in basketball. And I'm watching this team. Anthony Davis is always one injury away from missing the next five games. LeBron, right. Well, we
lose him?
Schroeder, this is his second time leaving for COVID-related incidents. Andre Drummond doesn't know how to play with them. Kuzma is not a valid third option in the offense. THT is a good second-year player, but he can't lead them and charge them forward. They're in real trouble. Most of the teams.
Wait a minute. How's your opinion different from mine? That's exactly what I said.
They can lose, but my take is this: I'm almost with Mason from the standpoint of it might be better for them to go in the seventh or eighth position, only because I think they have a far better chance winning against Utah and Phoenix. And I'm not saying they're gonna win. I think they beat Utah. I think they could lose to Phoenix. I think they struggle.
All right, Michael, here's why. Here's why I disagree with you. I don't care who the opponent is. The only way the Lakers are going to win the title is with a healthy LeBron and AD. And the extra week gives them more time to heal up. I don't want
He's not ready, John. He's not ready, John. You keep saying that. The problem is you're saying with a healthy LeBron. He said he gave himself an out. I'm never going to be 100%, which was nonsense, by the way. Of course he'd be 100%. I think that even though he gets that extra time, they still have no continuity.
Right.
Schroeder can't play with them. He is so important to that team. Kyle Lowry doesn't score 37 points against the Lakers if Schroeder's playing.
Agreed.
You know that.
But Schroeder comes.
He doesn't have game like that.
Here's the other thing. Schroeder comes back the day before the play-in tournament starts. So if Schroeder comes back and he's there for the play-in tournament, I would just rather not have him play the games. Now, Michael, I will say this. If I had to bet whether or not they're going to be in the play-in tournament, I think they probably are, just because they have the hardest schedule of the three teams battling for the seventh spot. They have the hardest schedule between Dallas, Portland, and the Lakers. But if they can figure out a way to win Friday in Portland, I think whoever wins that game probably takes a huge step up in staying out of the seven. The winner of that, if you look at the games coming up, I think I'm predicting Portland will beat Cleveland tonight in Cleveland. That means Friday night, that's basically for sixth place, that game. And if the Lakers can win it, they not only would be a game up on Portland, they'd really be two up with six to go. But they got to win Friday. If they don't win Friday, I would agree with you that they're going into the play-in tournament.
The other games, though. I mean, let's say they win that game.
Yeah.
This team can barely beat anybody. If you look at how they played in the last 2-3 weeks, they are a lottery team.
But wait a minute, whoa. In fairness, they just beat Denver. In fairness, they just beat Denver.
Who had won 9 out of 10.
Yeah, but okay, so they beat Denver because they were able to bottle up Jokic. I'm not saying that they can't win a game. Lottery teams win games too. I'm just saying to you that based on the schedule that they have, you can't – with Anthony Davis leading the charge, I'm never quite sure that they're going to be able to win games. He didn't win when he was in New Orleans. He didn't win. He won one year when he had Rondo and he had the Cousins. He's
right.
Not a winning player. He's a great player, but he needs somebody better than him.
Michael, I want to point out, you said when you came on the show you disagree with Ireland. He's a homer, but I think the sky is falling. You sound way more negative.
I was going to say, Michael, you're more negative than Mason is.
You're like
on the
most negative person here.
I'm just saying to you, my concern is that I just don't think this team, everybody's talking about they can.
All right, Michael got his saying. Thank you, Michael. That
I think
was a good
somebody.
Call.
I think somebody was calling him. I think that was his call.
Oh, is that what it was? Yeah. So, Michael, I find a lot of what he says to be compelling. John, if your life depended on it,
yeah.
If your life depended on it, if you get this wrong, you're dead.
Okay.
Lakers or the field?
Oh, give me the Lakers.
Oh,
I'll bet on LeBron
for your life.
By the way, did you watch last night Milwaukee-Brooklyn?
No, I did not. I was watching baseball.
Milwaukee beat him again.
Oh, wow.
And Giannis.
Who played for Brooklyn?
Durant.
Just Durant?
And
no,
Kyrie.
No Kyrie?
No, Kyrie played. It is.
I think I've been saying all along, I think it's going to be Philly.
Yeah, that Brooklyn is. I still think it's Lakers-Brooklyn in the final, but both of them have hurdles to clear. It's not a lock. A month ago, I would have said it's pretty much a lock. I don't think it's a lock now.
So I'm going to say something controversial. You ready?
Very excited.
If it came down to one bet to save my life, and I was presented with Lakers versus the field, again, my life is on the line.
Yeah.
I would have to, despite my Laker fandom, despite how much I love this team, despite how much I'm rooting for this team, I would have to take the field.
Okay, now let me make it harder on you.
Yeah.
You have to pick the winner of the NBA title or you're dead. Who do you pick? I'm picking the Lakers.
Yeah, that's a different bet.
You've been standing by Philly all year.
You know what's weird is to save my life, I've got to pick the right team.
Yeah, you're dead if you get it wrong. Pick the winner.
Then I take the Lakers.
Wait a minute. You just said you would.
You make no sense.
The field buys him more options. He just took more options.
Yeah, I took more options.
But
if you give me one team,
we're not all that different.
We're not all that different. But I mean, it's hard to separate how much I love the team, how hard I root for the team, and what's real. You have that problem too, but it's different because you are required to live in a fantasy world.
Yes, I am.
Proudly so, yeah. The phones are always open, 877-710-ESPN. You can email venicemace@gmail.com. Coming up next for you, John, a poll survey about who is your best sexual partner.
Huh?
Yeah.
I only have one.
Who is your best sexual partner? You will be surprised at the answer. Okay. Mason, Ireland, 710 ESPN.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sportsbook bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
It's Selena. Jorge, what's the significance? You asked me if it reminds me of another song.
Yeah, there's an original song where this comes from. I just don't remember the original song.
Well,
I kept telling him it was in my head.
Who am I, Captain Name That Tune? I'm
well,
not
you're
here
a DJ, man.
You.
That's why I asked. I don't know.
Yeah, Captain Name That Tune. I'm asking me.
Lindsay
wanted
to hear it.
I was telling him all day. Yeah, it's been stuck in my head all day because I watched the second half of the Selena series last night on Netflix.
Oh, Mace, nice. I have an important breaking news update.
Uh-oh.
Are you ready?
Ready.
Do you know the name John Means? M-E-A-N-S.
No.
Lindsay, any idea?
John Means. Is it when John is really mean?
No.
Oh,
good
wait,
guess,
wrong,
though.
Wrong thing.
John
wrong
Means thing. Is a pitcher for the Baltimore Orioles. And Mace, through seven innings, he's throwing a special game.
Very special. A very
no,
special
it's not
game
a very.
A special
it's
game.
Not a very. Just a special.
Okay.
Special game. You always say you need to know.
Yep.
Flip over to the MLB
I'm
network.
Putting on my MLB pass now. It's Baltimore, right?
Yep.
It's only seven innings. He'll lose it.
He's got to get
He'll
six more outs.
I think you probably jinxed it. By calling attention to it.
But I didn't say anything other than it was a special game. How could I jinx it?
True. You didn't. You didn't jinx it. You're right.
There you go.
All right. We'll get to your calls in a minute. 877-710-ESPN. I want to get this in there. So this is a really weird thing, okay? So just stand by for weirdness. A research company called OnePoll did a survey of 2,000 Americans about who their best sexual partner is.
Mm-hmm.
John, the answer, 67% of people gave the same answer.
And it
what
wasn't,
do you think it was?
It wasn't their spouse?
No.
Was it? What did they say, themselves?
Yes.
Yeah.
It duh.
Just ridiculous.
Duh, says Michael Thompson. Michael, what are you doing here today? Is today a day you're here?
He's not there. Jorge's playing drops.
Oh, that was just a drop.
Wait, okay, did you just figure that out?
Oh,
that
come on. Oh, I thought he was just popping onto the show. I don't know.
What? We've been playing what and duh for like 3 weeks now.
Mace, you really do have to cut back on the weed, man.
No, not going to do it.
It's like when, you, it's like
oh
when,
my
you,
goodness.
When he went to that call in the first hour from the guy who was just on 20 minutes ago.
Not like even. It was minutes. The same segment.
Everybody Braun, thinks
Braun in only... L.A., you're on the show. No, he was on 20 minutes
Everybody
ago.
Thinks I'm the only one that makes mistakes on this show. And I have mm-hmm. to tell you, you all screw up.
Right, just not as much as
you. Do you want me to start pointing out your screw-ups?
Yeah, go right ahead.
Okay,
you
from now on,
do.
I'm going to point out everybody's screw-ups.
I was going to say, when
like
do you, you not?
You usually do, yeah.
Hey, John, Jerry Bueno emails, John, would you and Lisa mm-hmm. take Jack to a drag show?
I don't think he would understand it. But I wouldn't be against it. I mean, it depends what was in it, I guess.
Well, drag queens.
Yeah, no, I have no issue doing it. The ones I've been to have been funny.
I would take my nephew if my sister didn't mind.
They're fun.
Yeah.
They're really fun shows.
I worked
they're
a concert once.
They're so yeah. nice.
Yeah, they are really nice. Drag yeah. queens are very nice people. All right. I wanted to, somebody, Kamal
this
Washington
conversation
wants
is surreal.
Kamal Washington wants tickets to our screening of Black Widow, and I say to him, stand by. We don't have tickets
stand
yet.
By.
We have no event yet, but it's coming. Email from Luke Snyder. Dave Roberts is a paper manager with no feel for the game as a manager. I won't say he has no feel for the game because he was a pro himself, so he knows ball, which is what makes it frustrating. He manages off paper and numbers. You could replace him with a robot, and the same thing would happen. I argue that holding the Dodgers bullpen probably missed their chance to have a few World Series titles instead of boasting one title and eight division titles. That's more testament to Andrew Friedman, not Dave Roberts. I mean, understand they got cheated, but explain the other playoff mishaps. You cannot say Roberts has no feel for the playoffs and be honest. except the Dodgers last year. So the question is, he's raising this issue. Does Dave Roberts have a feel for the game? And I'm like, are you friggin' kidding me?
It's an absurd argument. Okay, so do you know how insulting that is to the other managers that Dave Roberts has beaten?
Yeah.
So they apparently aren't smart enough to beat Dave Roberts, who you think is the dumbest manager in the game. Let me read this tweet we got earlier, Mace. And, well, I'll let you react to it, and then I'll tell you what I think.
Okay.
From Raymond Wilson. Dave Roberts won the World Series in the same amount of time it took Tom Lasorda. If he looked like Lasorda, I bet he'd be treated differently. Hint, hint. In other words, he's suggesting that if Dave Roberts wasn't black, people would be questioning him less. Do you buy it?
No, don't buy it.
I don't either. I've never felt a racial tint to any of this criticism.
I think it's more of an analytics argument. There are still people who believe that Dave Roberts is told what to do and he has no leeway to do something else. So in other words, feel for the game doesn't matter because this is all planned in advance.
That's, I'm somebody who subscribes to some of what you said, but what happens is I think they go over a game plan with the front office based like who's going to play, who isn't. But I don't think that Andrew Friedman is texting Roberts during the game, updating him on what to do. I think they talk about potential scenarios, and then as the game happens, Dave and the coaching staff, based on those recommendations, play it out. So I think he's restricted, but I think to suggest that all he's doing is getting texts from the front office and doing exactly what they want is a little bit disingenuous to Roberts.
No, but what I think goes on, and you've disputed this with me, I think what goes on is that the smart people, Andrew Friedman, his team, and Dave Roberts all go to a room some point during the day, and they come up with a plan. And then Dave Roberts does execute that script. He uses the relievers when he's expected to use the relievers. Particular matchups are talked about in advance. I do believe that's true, but I believe that Dave Roberts is part of that conversation with Andrew Friedman. That's how I view it.
Yeah, I think we're talking semantics. I agree with you that they come up with a plan during the day. He follows this script as you said.
Yep.
And then, but what happens when it goes haywire or the guy they decided to put in gives up two runs? Then you've got to adjust on the fly. I've been watching baseball for a long time. 8 straight division titles just doesn't happen a lot. The only other time I can think of it happening is Atlanta. Atlanta won 12 or 13 when Stan Castleton was the president of the Braves. But
they won once during that period.
Yeah, they won one World Series. And now the Dodgers have theirs.
Yep.
So there you go. If you want to criticize Dave Roberts, you've got to come at us with something better than they're on a losing streak. Because they've had losing streaks every year, and he still figures out a way to win the
division.
In fairness,
he's coming at us with too much coming off paper, too much analytics, too much planned in advance, too much he doesn't have any power, too much he's a paper manager.
Yeah, I think it's a valid concern, but I think Roberts has proven that however they decide to execute this thing, he's the right guy to execute it. They win the division every year. They've been to the World Series 3 times in 5 years. You could argue they should have won it twice.
Because 2017.
Because the Astros cheated. The first time they got there, I think the Red Sox were the better team the year they lost to the Red Sox. And last year, they hammered Tampa. So there you go. I mean, the guy's been to the World Series 3 times in the last 5 years, and you want to fire him. It's idiotic.
Manuel Moya emails, the Mason curse is real. The slump started after your appearance at Dodger Stadium. Manuel,
that's
I want to point out to you.
That is true.
I was at the World Series. Mm-hmm. I was one of the few people that actually was in Dallas for the World Series championship and the celebration. So if I didn't jinx them then, I'm certainly not jinxing them now. The bullpen is the you don't really believe in the Mason curse, do you?
No, I think it's stupid.
It is stupid. Lindsay, do you believe in the Mason curse?
But he's not wrong. They did go into a swoon as soon as you went to a game.
I went to a game and they did fall right off a cliff.
I don't not believe in it. But
there you are with your double negatives again.
You are like Captain Double Negative.
I'm just trying to, I have to be convinced that it's real. More so than it's not.
So you don't know that it's not real?
Yeah, I just need to be convinced that
no,
it is real.
I'm confused.
Because yeah, I'm not sure.
What is this? Sasquatch?
Yeah. Jorge, did you understand anything that came
out? I'm not ruling it out. I'm not ruling it out. That's what I'll say.
Yeah. She's just jabbering, I think, sometimes.
Well, yeah,
that's what
we
I
all?
Do. Yeah. Yeah. Speaking of jabbering.
Yeah. Speaking of jabbering. Speaking of jabbering, coming up next is Radio Tinder. Mason in Ireland, 710 ESPN. And while you're there, follow at Venice Mace. All right.
No,
Lynn's...
don't follow at Venice Mace. Unfollow at Venice Mace and follow Lindsay Baseball. Sorry,
this
Mace.
Is a terrible campaign. All right. Lynn's, it's Radio Tinder time. What do you got?
All right, guys. So DK Metcalf is ridiculously fast, especially for someone who's 6'4", 230 pounds. But we're about to find out just how fast he is. The Seahawks receiver is set to take his first shot at qualifying for the Olympics by running the 100-meter dash at Sunday's USATF Golden Games. So this all started last fall when Metcalf's crazy highlight clips had people genuinely curious if he was fast enough to compete in track and field on the world's biggest stage. So then USA Track and Field sent a playful tweet encouraging him to test his speed against, quote, real speed. And apparently Metcalf took their tweet to heart and he began training for the 100-meter event. He was a standout in his high school track and field team, but he specialized in hurdles, triple jump, and was part of the 4x100-meter relay team. Do you think DK Metcalf is fast enough to qualify for the Olympics? Swipe left or swipe right?
He's close. Swipe right. Ever since this kind of hit the internet, people have been showing that play where he ran down Buda Baker from behind, and that was in pads, and he's running Olympic track speed there. If he had a good day, Mace, he could do it. Now, what's interesting is, let's say he does it.
Yep.
All right? The opening ceremonies of the Olympics are the day after veterans are supposed to report to NFL training camps.
Oh, wow.
So oh, he's got to go to the Olympics.
Well, in other words, Pete Carroll would basically have to sign off on this and say, hey, you can miss the first month of training camp to go run in the Olympics, which if I was Pete Carroll, I would do, wouldn't you?
Oh, I would too. I would absolutely say, go represent your country. If he's good enough, if he's fast enough, if he makes the team, Pete Carroll, the Seattle Seahawks have to say, go win for the country. I think they would look awful if they prevented DJ Metcalf.
Well, not only that, think
Olympics.
About the fear DK he Metcalf. Would strike in defensive backs if they, you know, he lines up across them and they know
Olympic
that guy's
gold
Olympic
medalist?
Gold medal. Yeah.
Yeah, that's crazy.
Yeah, I think don't you agree that he could make it if he has a
totally
good day?
Totally agree. I mean, I don't know his exact times. I don't know his training. I don't know anything like that. But, yeah, it's not unprecedented. I mean, other athletes have crossed over to the Olympics in other sports. Herschel Walker was a bobsledder.
Bob Hayes, the receiver for the Cowboys, won an Olympic gold medal.
Won an Olympic gold medal. So it absolutely has been and can be done. I'll root to see it.
They did say that based on that play that John's talking about where he ran down Buda Baker, based on that play alone, which was like the second fastest run of the season for all NFL receivers – based on that, they did it like they calculated his miles per hour and then compared that to what, you know, 100 meter stretch.
Yeah, 100 meter said dash that, right now, the world record is 9.58.
Yeah, they said that it would be like 9.8. So they said he would qualify if he ran as fast as he did with pads on in a football game. So, hey, you never
know.
He's in the
ballpark.
Realistic. Yeah,
he's in
sure.
the ballpark. All right, what's next?
All right, so in an interview that has resurfaced in light of Bill and Melinda Gates announcing their divorce, the Microsoft founder said that he and his ex-girlfriend used to take yearly weekend trips to the beach in North Carolina, even while married.
Yearly?
Yes.
Wow.
Quote, he said, quote, we can play putt-putt while discussing biotechnology. He said of his friendship with Anne Winbald, fellow software entrepreneur, in a 2001 interview with Time. The outlet reported that the trips would include dune buggy rides, hang gliding, and walks on the beach. But, you know, the pair broke up in 1987. Gates also said, when I was off on my own thinking about marrying Melinda, I called Anne and asked for her approval.
Mm.
That's just weird. So Bill and Melinda announced on Monday that they're ending their marriage, saying in a statement, we no longer believe we can grow together as a couple in the next phase of our lives. I have so many questions about this,
okay.
But the one I'll ask you guys, will Bill and his putt-putt playing ex eventually end up together? Swipe left or swipe right?
Good question. Like Charles and Camilla.
Yeah, like Charles and Camilla is a great comparison.
You know, if I'm Bill Gates and I am unmarried for the first time in 35 years, I don't want to go back to being tied to one person.
Amen.
I'm gonna swipe left on this, Lindsay. I don't think they'll end up together.
Yeah, like, I'm
clearly
swiping
still in
left.
Love with her.
I'm swiping left also. Because Bill Gates is free to see anybody he wants right now. He's got billions of dollars and is attractive to women everywhere. I think he's going to play the field.
So you think he's going to go buck wild?
Is he not the greatest example ever of back when we owned a racehorse, we wanted to name the horse Pocket Personality.
Yes.
But the name was taken. We couldn't use it. And the reason was, there was this beautiful woman at the track one night when Mason and I were over there, and I walked up to her and I went, okay, just tell me, seriously, what are you doing with this guy? And she smiled at me and she goes, he's got pocket personality. And I went, so he's got a lot of money. She goes, yep.
I love how you change these stories. Pocket personality came from Bill Maher.
Oh, is that what it was?
Yeah, I told you that. I said I interviewed Bill Maher's girlfriend one time, and I said, so what's with you and Bill? She said, he's got...
Well, then I must have done this after you told me that story.
Yeah, probably.
Yeah.
Bill had... Bill had pocket personality, and she was arm candy. That's what she said.
Right, because I'll tell you during the break who the guy was she was with.
Yeah.
Because you and I both know him. Anyway, I'll tell you in a second. But this would be the greatest example of somebody having pocket personality ever, right?
Yes. But you know what's interesting? The part of this story that gets me, Lindsay, is that they had like one weekend a year that was a freebie.
Yeah. Like, what kind of wife agrees to that?
In other words, one weekend a year, go have fun.
They played
no questions asked.
Oh. Really?
That's what they call it.
I'll put the ask in tonight. I'll let you guys know how it goes.
I'll ask too.
We were talking about how Drake broke up a relationship earlier this week.
Yeah.
A girl got with Drake. She had been engaged for 8 years. Boyfriend found out. They broke up. You know what? I will say this. If Juan had a chance to hook up with somebody famous, I would say, all right, that's a freebie.
Really?
That's a freebie. Oh, sure.
If it was a one-time thing, I get
one-time
that.
One-time thing, yeah.
Yeah, because you'd want the same liberty given to you, right?
Yeah, I'm not getting that.
You're not getting that.
No, I mean, Lisa, I could ask. I could
Lisa
put in the
runs your life. I'm the dominant force in my household.
Yeah, she would. You are. That is the biggest lie you've ever told on
dominant
this show.
Force.
Lisa would say, I would miss you. That would be her answer to that. I'd be out.
Yeah.
Before I go on to the next one, is Bill Gates now the most eligible bachelor in the world?
Good question.
I mean, I think so. Ben Affleck is eligible.
Jeff Bezos is technically a bachelor, right?
Yeah, but he's with somebody.
Yeah, he's like dating someone.
He's with Lauren Sanchez, our old friend Lauren Sanchez. Good for her.
I don't think
good
that
for
like,
both
if,
of them. They're
if
in
I
love.
Met if I met Bill Gates, like I probably it probably wouldn't really register to me. Like if I walked down the street today and Bill Gates came up to me and was like, hey, you're a nice looking lady. You want to go out on a date? I'd be like, I know, like I'm good. Like
you
I
really
don't
would.
I don't think I'd give him the time of day.
What about if you
glance.
Knew it was Bill Gates and he was sitting on billions of dollars? Would you still say no to a date?
I don't know. I feel like I could not get
you
past
have
his
to,
agent
You wouldn't have
looks.
To bum $1,400 off Ireland
That's
to go
true.
To Hawaii, I'll tell
it's
you
very
that.
Very true. I wouldn't even get stimulus checks because I'd be so rich.
Jim, right. The great Jim Hill just texted me. He said, John, you get minus no chances. That was Lisa. Yeah, I'm not getting nothing.
Yep.
All right, what do you got next? Here. So yesterday, Broncos offensive lineman Juwan James suffered a possible season-ending injury when he tore his Achilles during a workout away from the Broncos facility. Considering that James's injury occurred away from the team's facility, it could be classified as a non-football injury, and the Broncos would not be obligated to pay James $10 million salary owed for the season. It's worth noting that the reason James wasn't working out of the team facility is because Broncos players collectively decided not to show up to voluntary workouts due to COVID safety reasons. So you see a lot of players and a lot of teams are doing that. They're just opting out of them completely. So then Patrick Mahomes, Tyreek Hill, and plenty of other NFL players were not happy with the fact that the Broncos might not pay his salary this year, and they made it known on Twitter. Mahomes tweeted, quote, so they are going to take his contract for working out in the offseason. Tyreek Hill wrote, quote, so do we just not work out or what? And then Chris Conley commented on Mahomes' post with, Half these replies don't understand a player's off-season obligation. Many don't understand that you're expected to work out when away from the facility.
Right.
He wasn't going against his contract. Can you really see the Broncos not paying him for this year given the situation?
Absolutely. I can see them not playing him. In fact, the NFL has countered this. They released a memo that says injury sustained while a player is working out, quote unquote, on his own in a location other than an NFL facility are considered non-football injuries and are outside the scope of a typical skill injury and cap guarantee. Such injuries are also not covered by the protections found in paragraph 9 of the NFL player contract, meaning that clubs have no substantial contractual obligation to provide salary continuation during a year in which the injury was sustained.
All right, I'll tell you a story about
That's awful.
Well, I'll tell you a story about this, and it'll factor in. A few years ago, the Lakers had a player named Vladimir Radmanovich, and he went skiing during the All-Star break, and he slipped on a piece of ice and broke his arm.
Yep.
He lied about it. He said to the Lakers, I was washing
I was working
my
out,
truck,
I was playing ball, or, something
you know,
like that.
You know, it was some other, he didn't mention the skiing.
Because contractually, he was restricted from
going skiing.
Going skiing,
He was in the first year, they had given him the mid-level exception, which back then was 5 years, $30 million. So he's making $6 million a year. The Lakers could have, for all the reasons Lindsay just explained, and the Mace, the memo you read was identical to what the NBA's position was, back then, they were under no obligation to pay him. Once he admitted he lied and he was skiing and he slipped on a piece of ice, they had the right to void the contract.
Right.
But what about the fact
but
that
they chose not to.
Here?
But that's the story. That's where I'm going. Mitch Kupchak, who is the GM of the Lakers, came out and said, we're not going to void his contract because we don't want the rest of our players thinking that if you sign as a free agent with the Lakers, that we're not going to support you. And they honored his contract in full. And I think if the Broncos do this, that other guys are going to – they don't – you're right. They don't have to pay him, Mace.
Yep, they're not obligated.
If they
but
do
it's a bad
it,
look if they don't.
Yep, if they do it, I guarantee you down the road, somebody's going to say, I'm not signing in Denver. If I get in a car accident – there goes my career. I'm not playing for those guys. So I bet you they do. I bet you they pay him.
Not only that, but the fact that the reason normally teams would be working out together right now because, but they're not because of COVID. That's why they're not doing the voluntary workouts.
Sure.
So I think they could also make a point, COVID year or not. Well, then don't get mad at me when I show up to mini camp out of shape because I'm not going to work out because what if I drop a barbell on my foot? Then I'm going to, you know, like when I'm working out at the local gym.
Yeah, so, I mean, I think this has gotten so much attention, and it's such it's all over SportsCenter, and other players like Tyreek Hill have already spoken out. I think the Broncos have got absolutely no choice but to pay. And I think that's the right thing to do morally. He was getting ready to have a great season for the Broncos. He should be entitled to his pay. All right, is that it?
Yep, that's it for today.
All right, Ireland, what's coming up?
All right, Mace, you, of all the people I know, the two things you love the most are sports and movies.
Yes.
What would you be willing to pay, if anything, for one of the great pieces of sports movie memorabilia of all time?
Okay.
I'll tell you what it is next.
All right, cool. That's coming up next for you. Plus, the most annoying thing in the world is happening right now in my email. That's also coming up. Mason in Ireland, 710 ESPN.